Welcome to Security.com, the podcast, where we're bringing together in-depth intel, real talk, and the human side of cybersecurity. Recording this one from Hacker Summer Camp here in Las Vegas, Nevada. It's pretty warm outside, and I'm your host, Dan Mellinger. Each episode, I'll be joined by industry experts, defenders, and voices from the front lines to explore the latest enterprise security insights straight from the pages of Security.com and the minds shaping the field. Today, we have a special guest. We're talking to Alex East. Welcome, Alex.
Hello.
Alex is an old colleague of mine. He's an author, evangelist, consultant, public speaker, and all-around smarty pants. And those are his words, That's not true. Mine. But he is a smarty pants. besides Alex being awesome, he's also the author of several books, with another one on the way.
Another one on the way. Okay. Actually, another two on the way.
Yeah. Oh, nice. We'll get into that a little bit later. But his focus right now has been helping the most at-risk populations defend themselves against cyber scams and attacks and generally be safer online. So here, he brought some gifts for me, so I really appreciate it. I actually have these on Kindle. They're awesome, great reads, especially the second one we'll get into for me right now. But Cybersecurity for Seniors, Made Easy. And then we also have A Parent's Guide to Online Safety. And so this has been just fantastic. I have a 7-year-old and a 9-month-old right now. Aww. So. Alex, getting started, what led you to write cybersecurity tools and books for non-technical audience?
So it started off with a couple of years ago. We have a phone plan for all the family, and on there are my children and my father-in-law. And my bill's usually the same amount each month. One month, though, it was like $200 more than usual. So I did what every parent usually does. I went and shouted at my children and they were going, "We don't know, it's not us." And I looked at the bill and my father-in-law had racked up a bunch of phone calls to the Philippines. So I'm going, "Well, what's this about?" And my wife's going, "Well, maybe he's got a new girlfriend in the Philippines." So we went down and asked, and he said, "Well, I'm not supposed to tell you this, but I've won $10 million on the lottery."
Did he know?
And that was when my heart sank and I went, "Oh no." So we looked into it. Turns out that he'd been the victim of a scam. They'd siphoned $27,000 out of his account through this lottery scam. And my wife said, "Well, look, you know, in 20 years, you've been focused on cybersecurity and keeping corporations safe, right? What about ordinary people? What about, you know, the most at-risk members of the community and the people that don't have the resources that corporations do, right? So how do you help them?" So we kind of did some research and we said, "Well, what about a book?" So that was how the first one came out, was Cybersecurity for Seniors, and trying to help the senior community. And then when that one came out, people were saying, "Well, what about children?" Because children are hugely targeted. So that's how the second one came out afterwards.
Well, that's terrible. And I feel bad for your father-in-law.
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry that happened to him. But unfortunately, it happens way too much nowadays. And I think a lot of it is education, right?
Yes.
And so one of the things that struck me reading this is I've known you a long time. Really smart dude. He's a sales engineer. So one of the most technical people, but also knows how to communicate. And cybersecurity can be overwhelming, particularly for like seniors, right?
Yeah.
You do a really good job of making the concepts and the practices approachable, but not dumbing it down, right? Not making people feel like you're educating down to them. Like, how do you strike that balance?
Yeah, you've got to make the technical non-technical, right? And so it's really educating them. There's a couple of different levels that you go through. The first is like letting them know why they're a target, right? Letting them know the motivation behind people trying to get at them, and then recognizing those red flags. So if you can train people on, you know, things to look out for, steps that they can take proactively to avoid becoming a victim. And then also there's the other side of the coin is trying to like educate them on what to do if the worst happens, right? How to recover from that. So you have to take those concepts and explain them to them, you know, in layman's terms. Yeah. And luckily, you know, everybody I know that isn't in this community is a layman, and they're always asking questions like, what is it you do? You know, and you have to explain that. And so I've been doing that for like 20 years. And so it was kind of easy to transition into that, you know, non-technical area.
Yeah, that's interesting. I think anyone who is in cyber can relate, right? Relatives, parents, friends, asking, what is it that you do, right?
Yeah, exactly.
A lot of us actually can't explain it. So I'm glad you could tap into that to help educate others. You know, just transitioning a little bit, parenting in the digital age, right? Mm. This is kind of like first and foremost for my concerns with kids. We were talking about it online gaming, Minecraft, all that fun stuff. What are some of the biggest risks that kids specifically face today?
I mean, there's a multitude. So, you know, with the seniors thing, the motivation is financial 90% of the time. With children, there's just so many what you and I call attack vectors, right? There's the motivation for sexual predatory, right? Which is huge. Then there's financial gain as well, and cyberbullying, you know, and revenge is another one, right? People get pissed off online and, you know, use cyber to attack people through those methods. So there's so many different things that you have to be aware of where children are concerned. And as a parent, I'm old and grew up in the 70s, and and we used to like turn the TV on. There'd be a guy on TV almost every day spinning plates on a pole, right? And trying to not let the plates come down. And that's parenting today, right? It's trying to keep all those plates moving without any of them come crashing down. So you really have to keep an eye on what your children are doing without being overbearing. It's a fine, fine balance, right? You don't want to be big brother, but you also want to keep them safe. And again, that's all about communication as well. As long as they understand the threats, as long as they understand your motivation and the motivation of the attackers as well, they kids are a lot smarter than you think they are. And unlike seniors, they're a lot more tech savvy as well.
That's actually interesting. Can it be a challenge that some of the kids are probably outpacing you and I in terms of understanding not just the technology, but perhaps workarounds or keeping accounts secret, things like that? Do you have any tips for that?
I mean, hopefully you and I that are in tech, right, then they're not. Hopefully we're on top of it. But, you know, for ordinary parents, there's this concept of technological immigrants and technological natives, right? Most people our age are by and large technological immigrants. You know, we weren't born with a mouse in our hand, whereas, you know, our kids grew up in that. You know, you hand them a tablet, they instinctively know how it all works. So, you know, they're going to be finding shortcuts and stuff. So again, it's all about communication. As long as you can be open and honest with your kids and say, look, I'm not doing this to oppress you in any way. I'm not doing this, you know, to be a pain. I'm doing this for your safety. And we're in this together. And that's one of the things I bring up in this book is you've got to be a team, right, with your family.
Yeah.
And give the ownership of it to them a lot, right? And because kids are all about validation. If they're not getting it from you, they're going to be getting it outside, right, which is how the predators get in. So you give them that responsibility and trust but verify, and you give them that validation and say, hey, you know, you didn't click on this link, or I noticed that you did this, or they come to you and say, hey dad, you know, I got this message and I deleted it and reported it, and you go, great, you know,
that's awesome.
Here's a reward for you, for doing that.
Yeah, I muted that guy yelling into the microphone and,
exactly.
I'll date myself, Halo, but interesting. Well, and I think kids too, like thinking about it, and one of the things that concerns me a lot about online behavior and society nowadays is the whole aspect of cyberbullying, because that's new. Like, that didn't exist really. It was all real bullying, right? Physical bullying. Right. Now, you know, can you outline like what's cyberbullying and what are some best practices for parents and like how can we arm our kids against that? Because that's a new dynamic.
Yeah, so cyberbullying is insidious. It can take the form of several different things. One is literally like trolling online where they're posting horrible comments, and two, creating fake profiles online. One of the examples I got when I was doing my research for this book was a young girl who had, you know, become the victim of it. They created a whole profile mimicking her online, and then that profile was posting nasty comments about her classmates, and then she turns up at school and they're, you know, basically blackballing her, and she had no idea what was going on. The thing about cyberbullying and is about support, right? You've got to let them know they're not alone. There are resources that they can go to. They don't have to face this on their own. So they've got you. There are, you know, school resources dedicated to this. Law enforcement, a lot of sheriff's departments now have dedicated cyber departments that can go after cyber bullies. There's online resources, even IC3, which is the FBI's internet crimes division.
And all that, yeah.
Yeah, so there's lots of resources, counseling to recover from it. So, you know, it's again, it's about open dialogue with your kids and noticing the red flags. You know, if they suddenly become very introverted and depressed, you know, having that open conversation with them about, hey, you know, what's up? And, you know, finding out what's going on.
Yeah, it sounds like communication in general, open lines is kind of one of the first and best bulwarks against all sorts of
it
stuff
is.
Here.
And that applies to all of those demographics, right? From seniors all the way down, you know, in age as well, is having, keeping that open communication channel.
Awesome. Well, I mean, switching kind of gears, in cybersecurity for seniors made easy, what are some of the, like, the common scams that are targeting seniors, right? We talked about some of the things that are maybe unique to kids a little bit.
Yeah.
Seniors have kind of a different MO. So can you talk about that?
Yeah. So that, again, the motivation there is generally financial. There are a couple of scams that are deliberately aimed at seniors. There's one called a grandparent scam. It used to be that they would get a text message from someone purporting to be their grandchild saying, hey, I'm in trouble. I'm in hospital. They won't release me. Or I'm, you know, in trouble with the police. I need money to be bailed out. Now with AI, just going on your grandchildren's social media and taking a 30-second snippet of audio, they can have them say pretty much anything on a phone call. I've got an example where a grandparent received a phone call from their grandchild who was touring Europe and said, hey, grandma, I'm in Brussels. I've been arrested. I need money. I'm on a friendly local's phone, which is why you don't recognize the phone number. Can you send me the money? The grandparent didn't question it, right? Because it was their grandchild's phone, the voice. They sounded panicky. It puts them into a state of panic and they act, right? So there's that kind of scam. The lottery one I've mentioned, phishing is another big thing because seniors tend to trust authority. So if they're getting an email or a message from an authority figure, the police, toll booths, you know, those kind of things.
I get so many of those text messages.
You know, you owe them money. The DMV are going to take your driver's license away unless you do this. So there's a trust element that they prey on. Another thing is catfishing is big. As you get older, your social group shrinks and loneliness sets in. The bad guys will look at obituaries and stuff. They'll look at your social group on social media. Nowadays with AI, they can automate that process. Anytime you lose people, they can just reach out. Hey, you know, we're from so-and-so. Let's be friends. And then it builds up and becomes either, you know, a big ask on, hey, I need money, or pig butchering or something like that.
Wow. I mean, with AI, like, tricks even tech savvy people. So I mean, how do you help them defend against stuff like that?
So again, it's about recognizing the red flags, right? It's unsolicited contact is red flag number one. Urgent call to action, you know, so you need to do this, otherwise something in a short space of time, otherwise something bad will happen, mm-hmm. right? So recognizing just those two things alone, take a breath, trust but verify, right? If you're getting that phone call from your panicked grandchild or, you know, DMV or something like that, just hang up, I'll call you right back.
Yeah.
So it's about doing that, taking a breath and, you know, verifying before you take that action.
That's interesting, yeah. Like maybe if you get that fake voice call, like take a pause, look at your granddaughter's Instagram, like is she in where she said, right? Like because kids are posting all the time, or hopefully have open lines of communication. You could send a text, right?
Yeah.
Like, hey, I just got a weird text. Did you just call me, right?
Exactly.
Interesting.
Okay. In this case, they knew she was in Brussels because of social media posts.
Oh, great.
So that's how it's spear phishing, right? It's getting all of those details to make your contact more plausible.
Oh, interesting. Are there any other kind of like general best practices that we can help like our, you know, grandparents, my parents as they get older? Because my dad spent his whole career in IT and he falls for phishing text messages.
Corporations all the time. Do. Otherwise, we wouldn't be in business.
Yeah.
Right? Corporations with large cyber teams get breached every day.
Yep.
So it's, you know, my father-in-law, when he got caught, I said, you know, don't feel bad because, you know, I wouldn't be in business if large corporations with people of my, you know, knowledge didn't get scammed. Mm-hmm. He calls it his education tax. That's when he said, you know, and he goes around
like a year
talking.
Of college.
Yeah, exactly. He's in a retirement home now and he talks every week. He gives a talk about his experience.
That's awesome.
Every week. Because some people forget, right?
yes,
there's new intake all the time, and he goes around talking at the VFW and stuff. So he's sharing that. Another great one is a safe word with your family, right? If you get that panicked phone call, you say, what's the safe word, right? Ours is Albuquerque this week. We change ours every week.
Wow.
But like, you know, you have a new safe word every week.
That's awesome.
So you say, you know, my kids, if you ever call and you're in trouble, to say Albuquerque, Dad, I need this.
That's amazing. Yeah. So it's like human two-factor authentication.
It is. And it's unhackable.
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing. You don't store anything online. They can't hack it.
That is fantastic. All right. I mean, I was going to ask if someone only remembers one piece of advice from your books, what should it be? You just let in with a really, really good one. I'm going to start doing that.
Yeah, I would say that the safe word, don't click on any links on any emails you get unless it's from me. and trust but verify, right? Always take that breath. Those are the three things. Whenever I go out talking, you know, I always say, you know, because it's an hour long talk. And I always sum up, look, you know, if you take three things away from me at the end of this, those are the three. And what I would like for you to do is go have coffee with three of your friends and tell them those three things. Say, hey, I got this talk this week from this really good looking English guy. And, you know, he taught me these three things.
Fantastic accent.
Right? Thank you. You know, it's my credit card. So, you know, just take those three and share the wealth.
Oh, that's great advice. And along those lines, are there any kind of rising trends in terms of these attacks that you may want to warn people about?
Well, I mean, AI is a game changer, right? What used to be done, you know, manually, people writing phishing emails and poor grammar and
bad English,
all of those things, and coming from a weird email address, all that's a thing of the past, right? So they can now do it accurately and at scale.
And targeted.
They can create a fake profile like that, and even spoof video, you know, with deep fake. So it's even more important now to stay super vigilant and don't trust your eyes and ears anymore, right? Don't do that.
That's wild.
Yeah.
I guess human two-factor is kind of the best thing I've heard. That's why it shocked so much.
100%.
I mean, switching gears a little bit here, what kind of feedback have you gotten from readers thus far? You were telling me a couple stories earlier, but these books are super impactful.
Yeah, it's really nice. I get like emails on the constant now, and it's very gratifying. An example was actually a guy that I worked with many, many years ago. He got the book for his father, and his father was talking to his neighbor, and his neighbor had mentioned, hey, I got this phone call. You know, they're saying that I've won the lottery. And he goes, oh, I know that story. Wait a minute. And he went in his house, came out, gave his neighbor the book, mm-hmm. and stopped him being scammed out of several thousands of dollars. And so my friend came to me and said, hey, you know, so your book works. I want you to let you know that.
That's
and
awesome.
Another one was from a parent of a teacher, a teacher at a school got the book. And one of the parents at Parents Day was saying that their kid has been very morose lately, very inward. They kind of did some research, turned out they were being cyber bullied. They had the experience from the book, they got them help, they got them counseling, they got law enforcement involved, and they ended up shutting down this fake profile. They let all the class know that it was a fake profile, mm-hmm. it wasn't actually that person, that child that was doing it, and they got welcomed back into the fold and
wow.
everything. So that I got that message, and again, that's really kind of, you know, feeds the soul, right?
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
My goodness. I mean, that must make it all worth it, right?
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
what's next for you? I know you have a couple, I think two more books
two
that
more
are kind of on the way, so...
Yeah, so the next one is the AI-powered scams.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, in the constantly changing world of scamming and hacking, like AI, as I mentioned, is a game changer. So it's called the AI-powered Scam Survival Guide.
Nice.
That is going to be out by the end of the month.
Oh, awesome.
So that'll be available on Amazon and on TikTok Shop. I know. So that one's coming out, and then I've just finished the manuscript for the cybersecurity for small businesses. So oh. again, very targeted demographic. It's people that are trying to make a living, right, but don't have the budget for a cybersecurity team, which of course scammers know, mm-hmm. right? So again, because they can scale so much, they don't need to go after the Disneys of this world or the Capital Ones.
Yeah.
They can blanket a bunch of small businesses and make just as much money off of, you know, 20, 30 small businesses as they would have off of one large corporation.
That's super interesting. We actually, Symantec and Carbon Black Threat Hunters, we've been noticing a trend of advanced APT groups, a lot of them nation state associated, are moving farther and farther down market. And it seems ostensibly they're being empowered by ease of AI, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Being able to cast a wider net, but also, you know, these are softer targets.
Yeah, so exactly.
Easier to extract money.
The thing about predators is, you know, if you watch any of these nature specials, predators always go after the weakest of the herd, right? So it's a lot easier to go after a small business that doesn't have a cybersecurity team than it does to go after a large corporation that has teams, tools in place, firewalls and, you know, EDR and all of those, you know, every tool in their arsenal.
Yep.
So they're going to go after the weakest of the herd. And that's just a sad fact of life.
That's awesome. Well, you're continuing your trend of helping kind of the most at risk, working your way up. I have a couple like bonus questions here that we can jump into, but what's one myth or misconception about cyber you wish would just disappear forever?
The more tools you have, the safer you are.
Yeah.
It's not true, because you're only as strong as your weakest link. And sadly, in the cyber world and in every world, the weakest part of any cyber like arsenal is the part that sits between the keyboard and the chair, right?
Yeah.
And that is the part that most scammers and hackers are going to go after.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can have every tool there is, but you are only as safe as the one person that's going to click on that link in an email.
Awesome. Finally, for folks listening or watching who want to help loved ones stay safe online. What's the best place to start?
Well, I mean, obviously the books are available on Amazon and on TikTok Shop. I always have to remember that, right? It's TikTok Shop and Amazon.
We're slowly avoiding the allure that is TikTok.
I'm the oldest person on TikTok, I'm sure, by like several decades. But yeah, so they can go on there. It's the Parents Guide to Online Safety by me, and the other one is the Cybersecurity for Seniors Made Easy, also by me.
Awesome. And I'll make sure to link this in any of the posts that we do.
Great,
so go online. They're awesome. They're super, super good books. They're easy to read, and they're really actionable for parents and for seniors. So good advice, good help all around, and it's just fantastic set of books. So
and the one for seniors is in large print as well.
Yeah, I noticed that actually when I was reading through for some notes for this. So awesome. And good luck for your upcoming books. I'll
thank
be sure
you.
To read those as well.
Awesome. Thank
and
you.
Ultimately, I think that's a wrap for this security.com episode. So big thanks to Alex East for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
And check out more insights and technical deep dives at security.com. And don't forget to subscribe, rate, and share the show with your fellow defenders. Thanks for listening. And remember, stay sharp, stay curious, and stay human.